I've been praying for your pastor. I don't know if any of you knew this, but our church got hit really hard about a month ago. At one given time, we had 21 people in the church down with COVID, and that includes our pastor. But we are beyond it now, and I'll be glad, I think you all will be glad, when we're beyond all of this. And we no longer have to be concerned about the COVID issue. Please turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. And if you would, just put a bookmark, your bulletin, in that section of the Word of God, because we'll be coming back and forth between Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 2. That will be our main text. I want to begin with a question. The question is already seen in your bulletin, and we'll explain this in great detail as we go forward. And here's the question for you this morning. Does your spiritual condition, match your spiritual position? Let me explain the question by using some examples from everyday life and from God's Word. By condition, I mean your active state of being as a Christian, how you live out your Christian life. Let me give you an example by illustration. If I tried to sell you one of my old trucks, and by the way, you wouldn't want to buy one of them. But if I tried to sell you one of my old trucks, you might ask me, Scott, is that truck still in good condition? You'd be asking me, does it still run? Is it performing well? Is it functioning properly? Another illustration to understand the word condition, at least how I'm using it, because the English language uses that word condition in so many different ways. But another illustration, if you said to me, Scott, can I go mountain climbing with you? I might ask you, are you in good physical condition? And I'd be asking you, are you able? Do you have the physical qualities to hike with me? Can you do the distance, the load, the weather, and things like that? The apostles, though not perfect, and they would be the first ones to tell you that, they give us some great examples of their spiritual condition, how they were living according to their position in Christ, their life in Christ, how they were obedient to God's will. Turning your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20, keep a bookmark in Ephesians. Again, we'll be coming right back there. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. And we'll look at a couple of examples where Paul tells us about his state of being, his spiritual condition at the time. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing shall I be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Have you always marveled at that verse? That Paul could say that. For me to live is Christ. His life was all about Christ. His thoughts were all about Christ. And we can see from these two verses in Philippians, he was not ashamed, obviously not ashamed of the gospel and his association with Christ. He was bold. He magnified Christ in his body. And his life was all about Christ. That's his condition. How he was living, how he was functioning as a believer. Paul also said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, you can turn there, we're so close. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, where Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Notice the with Christ. Here we have our position. We are with Christ, in Christ, our position in Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Here Paul tells us about his position in Christ. Crucified, with Christ. Paul also tells us about his spiritual condition. He tells us, I'm still living in my fleshly body, but Christ lives in me. And the life I do live in this fleshly body, I live by faith. This morning I want to encourage you about your spiritual position in Christ. What a blessing that is. I never personally grow tired of studying about our union and our position that we have in Christ. But at the same time that I want to encourage you about your position in Christ, I also want to challenge you about your spiritual condition. How is your walk with the Lord? Does your walk with the Lord, does your condition, your spiritual condition, does it mirror our position in Christ? Does it reflect all that we are, all that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for our position in Christ as believers. Not a one of us here deserve it. There's no way we could earn it. We had no ability to put ourselves into Christ, into the body of Christ. But because of your grace and mercy, you have chosen to unite us with Christ, to place us into Christ. And Father, this morning as we rejoice in that fact, help us also to be challenged by the fact that we need to reflect that in the way we live every single day, every moment of the day. And Father, help us to be challenged regarding our condition spiritually. Does it in fact reflect, mirror all that we are in Jesus Christ? In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So now that we've seen some examples of condition and position spiritually, let's see that we do have a position in Christ. And I realize that this is not new information for us, but we have to be reminded and encouraged on a regular basis going back into the Word to learn things that we've already known. We do have a position in Christ if we are born again. If we are born again. And I'm not going to assume that everyone here is saved, but my guess is the majority, if not all of you, are saved. But if you are born again, if you're saved, you have a position in Christ. So let me read in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And I want you to note how many times we see this phrase, in Christ. Because that's our position. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. There it is right there. Our position in Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And there it is again. In Christ. That's our position. We are in Christ, and I hope you understand this. This is not just some poetic imagery. It is a spiritual reality that every single believer is in Christ. And this truth is expressed in a number of ways in the New Testament epistles, and we'll just look at a few this morning. And just listen to the first example in the scripture. It talks about we are in the body of Christ. You don't have to turn there, but just listen. Romans 12:5. So we, being many, are one body, and we could probably fill in the blank, one body in Christ. In Christ. Also, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. The union that we have in Christ. The Holy Spirit was the instrument that placed us into Christ, into the body of Christ, the moment that we were saved. There's not one theologian ever in all times that can explain the mystery of the mechanics as to how that happened. But by faith we believe it. Amen? That the moment we were saved, we were placed into the body of Christ. That's our position in Christ. Now, there's a very profound statement that Jesus said to Saul of Tarsus before the Apostle Paul was saved. And I'm sure you know this passage, so I'll just read it for you. And it's found in Acts 26:14. And the question that Jesus asked points to our position in him, in Christ, in his body. Setting the context for Acts 26:14, the Lord Jesus had already ascended. He's at the right hand of the Father. Persecution was going on down on the earth, and Saul of Tarsus was one of the main people that were persecuting the church. And Jesus spoke from heaven to Saul of Tarsus on the earth, and he said this, and you know this verse, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Why would Jesus say me? He's in heaven. And Saul of Tarsus is down there on the earth. He would say me because all that Saul was persecuting were part of the body of Christ. All those people at that time had their position in Christ. And we do too. So we have this clear example that we have this position in Christ. Turning our attention once again back to Ephesians in chapter 1. In verse 1, we're reminded to the faithful in Christ Jesus. In verse 3, God who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, once again, in Christ. We have this clear teaching over and over again from just a few passages that we looked at this morning that we have a position in Christ. Now let's continue on and look at Ephesians chapter 2. And as we read the first several verses of Ephesians 2, I want you to notice how many things are in the past tense. How many things refer to our old condition? Because this morning we've looked at our position in Christ. We'll also be looking at our condition, how we are functioning, how we are living for Christ. But Paul reminds us that we used to have an old condition, a former condition. And friends, we shouldn't be living according to the former condition, the old ways. Chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 1. "And you he made alive." Praise the Lord that he made us alive. I was thinking about this as I was pondering this message and preparing for this message. I can remember the day that I was not alive spiritually. On September 3rd, 1980, I was still in darkness. On September 4th, around 11 p.m., 1980, I became a living spiritual being. And you probably can remember that moment that you also were saved. "And you he made alive," verse 1, "who were dead." That was your former condition spiritually. You were dead. In the past, you were dead in trespasses and sins. Your former condition. Verse 2, "in which you once walked." That's in the past. You once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. This is not a pretty picture of who we used to be. Verse 3, "among whom also we all once conducted ourselves." This was us in the past. We once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were, this is past tense, "were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Not a pretty picture of who we used to be, but that's our former condition before salvation. That's what we used to be like. And Lord willing, we're not like that anymore. I'm sure everyone here could either paraphrase or quote 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let me just read this for you. I'm going to ask you to fill in the blanks because I know that you know this verse. And this fits right in with Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be what? In Christ. That's our position. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. That's our new condition. But note what it says next. All things are passed where? Away. That's our former condition. So we have our position, our new spiritual condition. We're new creatures. And we have our former condition. Old things are passed away. It's so easy for us to skip over the next word and just say, behold, all things are new, or all things have become new. But that word behold is an imperative. It's a command. I'm always telling my wife, look, we'll drive it down the road. I love wildlife, and it'll be a deer and maybe be 30 yards in front of us. And I'll say, look, as we're going 60 miles down the road. My wife is always telling me, you need to let me know with more advanced notice. Because usually she's not able to catch him fast enough. But it has this sense after the Apostle Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, our position, he is a new creature, that's our new condition. Old things are passed away, that's our former condition. Then he says, look, it's a command. All things have become new, have they? We're not supposed to be living in our former ways. All things are to become new. Continuing on from Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, in the past, our nature was the same as those under God's wrath. Wow. Really? That was me? That was you? Yes. Our nature was the same as those under God's wrath. But now, we should be living as God's children, spiritually alive, spiritually enabled, spiritually empowered. I want you to listen carefully to these next two statements because I'm going to ask you a question and I'll repeat them a couple of times. Think about the first statement. Our position in Christ impacts our spiritual condition. Our position in Christ impacts our spiritual condition. The second statement, our position in Christ should impact our spiritual condition. Our position in Christ should impact our spiritual condition. Now, here's the question. Are both of these statements true? They are. I see people nodding their head. They're both true. It really depends on you as to how true one or the other statements are. There might be some days you're completely yielded to the God, wanting to obey God, yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. And it's true of you that your position in Christ is impacting your spiritual condition. And there may be other days that you're being rebellious. You don't want to serve the Lord. And you know that your position should be impacting your spiritual condition, but you're not wanting to do it that day or that moment. We can never change our spiritual position in Christ. Amen? It is secure. It is one of the pillars of you, if you will, of our eternal security. Because we are in Christ. Can anyone pluck us out of Christ? No. No. We are placed into the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit through the power of God. And we can never lose our position in Christ. However, our spiritual condition is greatly impacted by our choices, by our decisions. We know that song, Just Two Choices on the Shelf, right? When it comes to choices and decisions, I have two questions that we can ask ourselves regarding what we're doing and how we're living and how we're dealing with choices and decisions. And here's the first one. In fact, the first question might be the only question we ever need to ask, but I'll ask a second question because I think it will help us. In anything that we do in our lives, we could ask this question, will I obey God and His Word? It's pretty condensed, isn't it, for the Christian life? In every single thing we attempt to do, with our mind, with our body, with any aspect of our Christian life, will I obey God and His Word? Another question that we could ask, will I yield to the Holy Spirit? And you know the answers to these questions right now in your life. The reality is that sometimes as Christians, we don't always live in every way according to our position in Christ. Let's be honest, right? Let's be honest. We don't always conduct ourselves as instruments of righteousness to God, Romans 6:13. We don't always live as living sacrifices wholly acceptable to God, Romans 12:1. But we know we should, right? We know we should. God in His rich mercy and superabounding grace has determined that we are always in Christ. Our position never changes. It's everlasting, and I praise God for that. But how sad it is when we as God's children who are in Christ continue to live as if our condition has not changed along with our position. There's a group of people in the New Testament that are always used for an example, oftentimes a bad example. You know who I'm talking about, right? The Corinthians. But these Corinthians are saints. These Corinthians have a position in Christ. And yet, Paul called them what? Carnal. Ooh. Ouch. I mean, how would you like it if your spouse walked up to you and said, "You're being carnal right now." Or if the pastor said, "I've been seeing your carnality." Or a brother or sister in Christ walked up to you and said, "You're being carnal right now." The reality is we all struggle with it, don't we? Even the Apostle Paul said he had to buffet his body to keep it under subjection. He knew. We don't have time, but if you're taking notes, just look at Romans chapter 7 if you want to see Paul wrestling. He was wrestling. So call Paul the Corinthians carnal. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, he said this, "For you are still carnal." It's another word so easy for us to just quickly read. Still carnal. When I was growing up, my father was real old school about discipline. And if he walked into our bedroom or walked into the house or anywhere for that matter on the planet, and if he said, "Are you still doing that?" Oops, we're in trouble. Did you ever say that to your children? "Are you still doing that?" Paul is saying to the Corinthian believers, "For you are still carnal." This should have been changed. I've addressed this before. Think about your life. Are there areas in your life that you know you are still carnal? Remember the Corinthians, they're in Christ, they're saved, they're born again, but they're still struggling with areas in their life where they're still carnal. And in fact, in this particular verse, he's not dealing with gross sexual immorality. He does later on, but right here he's talking about relationships in the church. "For you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, Are you not carnal? He says it again. But it's what he says next. He says, and behaving like mere men. Do you know what that means? You're behaving like you're unsaved. You're behaving like your former condition. And that shouldn't be true of someone who has a new condition in Christ and a new position in Christ. But it certainly was true of the Corinthians, and maybe it's true of us this morning. We have those areas that were still carnal. They need to be addressed. They need to be addressed. Paul, in his greeting to the Corinthians, in chapter 1 and verse 2 of 1 Corinthians, said this, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified, what do you think it says next? In Christ Jesus. That's their position. These carnal believers, they have a condition. I mean, their position is in Christ. But their condition is not reflecting who they are in Christ. In fact, they're acting in their old ways as mere men. We're just entering a new year. Not that far into the new year. A lot of times when we have a new year, we think about things we need to do. I'm not, the only New Year's resolution I have is to never make New Year's resolutions. We need to be having a discipline to do the right thing all through the year, amen? Not just in the new year. But God gives us opportunity to reflect on our life. How are we doing? Has the Holy Spirit pointed to anything in your life where you're still acting like a mere man, unsaved, and you have that thing that you are still doing, and it's in the flesh that God doesn't want you to do, and maybe you've been doing it for years. Maybe it's a new thing, and God wants you to deal with it. Once again, looking back to Ephesians chapter 2 and now verse 4, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, but God, who was rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, verse 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, that's who we were before, that's our former condition, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. We see our new condition and a new position all in one phrase. Made us alive. That's our new condition. Together with Christ, that's our new position. By grace, you have been saved. Our past condition has changed because of our new position in Christ. There's no greater contrast than to go from death to life. But think about that. That's the reverse of what we normally see. Because on this side of glory, we see what? We see people going from life to death. But here we see this marvelous, wonderful reality that we go from spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. In the physical realm, we go from life to life because of our position in who? The first man? Adam. But in the spiritual realm, for those that are saved, we go from death to life because of our position in Christ. And with our new position in Christ, we have become what kind of creatures? New creatures. Once again, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be what?
In Christ.
That's our position. He is a what? New creature. That's our new condition. Old things have passed away. That's our former condition. Remember the command, look, behold, all things are become new. Some of the old things that we've already seen in Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 5, some of those old things, our former condition. First, we were dead spiritually, but now we're alive. We have an old condition and a new condition. And second, we were living worldly and under worldly evil influences. And in the past, living according to lustful desires. But now, in Christ as new creatures, we should be living differently. Amen? And let me just give you two verses that emphasize this. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 12, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, are we? Because that's what our condition should be. That should be the spiritual reality, the state of being that we're living like that. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy. It doesn't say in some of your conduct, does it? You know what it says. That all word, in all your conduct. What's another word for conduct? Lifestyle, the way we live. And these verses describe the spiritual condition that we should be living in. Ephesians chapter 1 teaches us that we are in Christ, our position. Ephesians chapter 2 teaches us about some of our old past tense conditions. And Ephesians 2 also teaches us about our new condition in Christ. We are alive spiritually. Think of it this way. From Ephesians chapter 1 through Ephesians chapter 2, there is a flow from position to condition in Christ. And then we flow into what changes have taken place. In the past, our nature was the same as those under God's wrath. But now, we should be living as God's children, spiritually alive, spiritually enabled, and spiritually empowered. If you're saved here this morning, I know your position in Christ. And you know my position in Christ. How can I say that? Because the Bible reveals that to us. You know my position in Christ. I know your position in Christ. But what I don't know is your spiritual condition. And you don't know my spiritual condition. We should be striving to live a life for the Lord where the life that we live, the condition of our spiritual life, mirrors who we are in Christ, our position in Christ. We talked a little bit about the problems of acting like mere men from 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul said, you are still carnal. I thought about this illustration, and this is not theologically correct, it's just an illustration. But imagine, if you will, for a moment, that every single air in our life that we're still in the flesh, the Holy Spirit's, remember the sticky things, the sticky notes? Remember those from years gone by before cell phones and all that? Imagine the Holy Spirit on your back. Every air of your life where you're still in the flesh. And it says still carnal in this area, still carnal in that area. I'm glad he doesn't. Because then everybody else will be able to see it, right? But they're not the most important people, are they? The Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, they already know what we're doing. They already know every single area that we need to deal with in our life. I know your position, but I don't know your spiritual condition. I do know this about your condition. I know that you're a new creature. I know that your spirit indwelt, and I know you're spiritually enabled. And when it comes to change and dealing with the things that we need to deal with so we reflect better who we are in Christ, do we have everything we need spiritually? What's the answer? Yes. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. Amen. We have the Word of God. Amen. We have the body of Christ to encourage us and challenge us. Amen. And finally, we have the interceding Lord Jesus Christ pleading on our behalf, warning us to live like Him and become like Him. Right? We don't lack anything to go forward and to change and to be more like Christ and to live reflecting and mirroring who we are in Christ. And before I close in prayer, I'll just remind you of these simple questions that we can ask ourselves regarding what needs to change, regarding what we need to do, regarding how we need to live and deal with choices and decisions in our life. It's as simple as this: will I obey God and His Word? And we can add to that, will I yield to the Holy Spirit? Let's go to the Lord in prayer.